Welcome back to our next podcast. This is a second in a series about Johnny's prophetic word for the new year for 2018. And if you haven't listened to the first one, it would be a good idea to do so. We kind of lay a foundation of what Johnny was sensing, kind of where we were in the body of Christ and specifically in America in 2017 and how God was positioning us for this next year. And so we're going to jump right in and just give you one of the nuggets out of the prophetic word, which you can find on our website in its entirety under the blogs. Go to restore7.org or johnnyandelizabeth.com. And you can find Johnny's most recent blog, which is this whole word in its entirety. It's very long, but it's so good. It's very thorough. And as Johnny said, he could go on, you know, it could have been a lot longer.
Could have been a whole book, really.
Tried to make it as concise as he could. And one of the things that you talk about in the prophetic word is Saul, David, and Solomon. Saul, David, and Solomon. Of course, and you're referring to real people that existed and are written about in the Old Testament. And you connect them to three specific people in our day and age. So can you make that connection for us?
Yeah, and kind of a starting point, even in the prophetic word, is out of Ecclesiastes 3. It says there's a time for everything, and for every purpose. There is a season for it. And so with that, what the Lord was speaking to me was, you know, parallels for the season the children of Israel went through, defining a defining season where they had their three kings. They had King Saul, they had King David, and King Solomon, and how they associate and connect and parallel three specific presidents we have.
So they were consecutive kings,
yeah.
King Saul, King David, and then King Solomon.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a message for us. And as I write, and I said, the parallels are not perfect. So it is not good to excessively try to micromanage the interpretation for every one of them. And
nor would you want to label each of the men that you're going to bring up as only this. It's just there's a certain way that it's helping you connect us to what you sense God doing through each of these men now.
Yeah, and I'll say there is a connection. We'll make an analogy, a parallel between President Obama and King Saul, President Trump and King David, and then the next president after him with King Solomon. And again, since it won't be perfect, it's neither designed to demonize President Obama, we'll say, as far as we might think of King Saul, nor glamorize or excessively praise President Trump as it relates to President David. But it's more certain dynamics of who they were and how it played out for Israel, and that it would help us, even as the Lord was instructing me, that as we understand his narrative with us and see even how the interplay of the narrative with Israel's destiny at that time, it helps us know what we're supposed to do. Again, all this I didn't mention in our prophetic word, but it ties in, you know, the scripture speaks of the tribe of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, those who had understanding the times, what Israel should do. And they would call the sons of Issachar in to, even as they considered war with somebody, is it a time for war or not? And they would hear from the Lord. And so I feel like this is a grace that a grace and an assignment I have from the Lord is to consider things as one from a son of Issachar, as a son of Issachar, what time it is. And because as Ecclesiastes 3, you don't want to be planting when it's time to be harvesting or vice versa. They're both good things to do. And one of the scriptures there is in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8 says, there's a time for war and a time for peace. And mm-hmm. I laid out, and I may have mentioned it some in our first podcast, because the name of the overall prophetic word is a time for war and victories, that I believe we're in an overall time for war, a time of war, and it shouldn't shake us. And there's an application that's definitely spiritual, for sure. And we're seeing that. We discussed what's taking place on the tops of the mountains. And there is disruption and displacement taking place. The kingdom of God.
There's clash.
Mm-hmm. And so the enemy is always at war with us. And so it's only appropriately that we would focus on it in a season we're called to victories. He would have us focus and let us know it's a time of war so that we would not just sit back like in the wilderness and desert and say, no, we don't want to do that. That's children of Israel did for 40 years when they were called, no, go make war against the Hittites, Jebusites, Girgashites, because great promised land is yours. And so it took them a long time to be motivated.
So you're either maintaining the ground you have or you're taking new ground. And you're saying this is happening specifically in the spirit realm, and we can connect that to our individual lives and stories, and we can connect it also to the bigger picture of what you sense God doing in the nations and specifically in America right now.
Yeah. There's a time, we could even say there's a time for taking land, there's a time for settling the land you've taken. And this is a time for taking. This is a time for taking land in the spirit, ground in the spirit. This is a time even for destiny advancement for our nation. Again, this is a time of war at several levels. Mm-hmm. And so it can translate in different ways depending on what aspect we are. But we want to be preparing ourselves. Part of what I write is we want to be carrying the proper resolve and the proper good courage. You know, mm-hmm. That was a word said over and over to Joshua as he's going into the promised land. Joshua, only be of good courage. Be of good courage. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you promised land, but be of good courage. And so we want to address, I think perhaps the body of Christ has not been as courageous as we need to be. We follow so much speculation and conspiracy observation that at times it takes away our resolve and courage. And so we want to be courageous, and we want to be people of resolve. It's like, okay, this is a disruptive time. And yet it's about God allowing us to take great ground in the midst of it.
You know, I think so often Christians will hear that advice, be courageous, take time, take ground, be bold. And so we think that means, you know, be more bold about telling people what's wrong with them and how they're doing wrong things, and take a stand for the standard of the word and the standard of what's right and what's wrong. And that just like, that hits this religious thing in me that is so disgusting.
No, we don't need to be bold with our finger pointing. This is a personal, overcoming our personal fears, anxieties, and things.
Which doesn't mean there's not a standard, which doesn't mean there's not a better way of, God's better way of doing things. It doesn't mean that we all of us are not doing things that are wrong. It means we haven't aligned ourselves with the big picture of what God is doing and focusing on. And I love the analogy you often give of God being a father, and like any good parent, he knows what's age appropriate and what he's going after. And thank goodness God doesn't go after all of our issues at once. So you're saying that this last year there were some specific things, if we're able to like tune our hearts in with his heart, there were some specific things that he was accomplishing in our hearts individually and collectively as a nation. And in doing that, lots of things had to be disrupted, had to be exposed, brought out. And there's obviously going to be more of that. But I think of some of the things you mentioned in the last podcast that God began to surface that caused disruption. Even like the fact that he chose President Trump, for me, that was a huge disruption, because he's so, you know, I don't want to speak negative of someone that's in leadership. I know it, the little bit of leadership that we've carried, it's hard. It's so hard. And so I only want to be honoring of leadership. But him as a man and as a person and who I had seen him to be, you know, in Hollywood and all that he allowed himself to be portrayed as through the years, just was not appealing to me as a person and character-wise to think of him in a position of that level of leadership in our nation. So when God said, you know, through you, I was hearing, and through others, that that's who God was going to place into office and cause our hearts to come into alignment with that so that we voted as a nation in a way that would position him, to me, it's kind of felt like, you know how there are times that God like has you go through something that you look at it in the immediate future and you go, how in the world could that begin to be good? Like, the only thing I know how to tie that into is like a doctor appointment or something.
Yeah.
If you don't know what's really going on inside of you, and you need a doctor to go in and fix something that you don't even know is wrong, you're going to really resent the doctor, no matter how good they are or aren't at something. That's probably a poor analogy on my end. But I'm just saying, like, God positions someone to go after some very specific things that we may or may not really understand until years from now. But when we know the Father, we know that that's the only possible thing that could be happening right now, is that He is doing something that's for our ultimate good as a nation and individually, no matter how hard it looks in the moment. It was the same thing with the floods and the fires and all the different things that we talked about in the last session. So there's something being positioned, and God is using it for our good. And our good ultimately is to know Him better. So yeah, we're being positioned to know Him better as a nation in the long run. So there may be things that are happening on the side that aren't God's ultimate best for us in the long run, but they will position us for those ultimate best things to be able to happen in the future. Like what you were just saying, and then I'll finish my rant with this, is the whole thing of our economy being strong. If God's heart is for the widows and the orphans, but momentarily we look like we've got this, you know, lily white conservative Republican government who maybe you've deemed as, that's a group of people that don't really care about the widows and the orphans and the inner city and all of that. But if God does, then He would be positioning us in the big picture to be able to begin to do what's in His heart for us to do all along.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk, hopefully maybe in the next podcast, more about the economy and some things there as it relates to it. But part of what you're talking about there, Elizabeth, is I address it in the prophetic word. There is part of it, we have to carry enough humility, understand we do not carry the fullness of the understanding of the mind of Christ in a solo way, especially if we don't have the humility to invite Him into the process. And back to Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 11, it says, God has made everything beautiful in its own time. But then it goes on to say, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's word work from beginning to end. Even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And again, this is a good presupposition for us. And I believe as we position ourselves to be humble enough to understand that we can't see everything that He can see. And it relates into that, what I got to get into briefly here about these three presidents, these three kings, and what He's doing and what He was doing in Israel and what He's doing now and the parallels there. And there has to be this proper positioning of our mind to be willing to be instructed by the Lord. I told you the same thing while I was seeing the vision of Trump winning, I was saying, oh no, out loud. I literally said it out loud. And it's not because it's not even about I don't like him. I just know his personality type, that meant we were going to go. That to me almost right, it's like, okay, we're going into a time of disruption, a time of
bull in a china shop kind of disruption. Yeah.
So anyway, back to the three analogies.
Yes.
And the first one I mentioned was President Obama as Saul. And I believe that he parallels Saul in the sense that he was, as it says about Saul, he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was like the obvious choice and candidate, and he looked kingly and whatever. And there was an aspect, there was something on Barack Obama even before he was president. So I believe there was an anointing on President Obama, and he did accomplish some meaningful things. However, like King Saul, compromise was found in him that ultimately did not please God. And I write, like, for those who point fingers and say, yeah, he really messed up on some things. It's not out of the question that one of the reasons that he didn't do better than he did is because half the church so angry at him being there that perhaps not enough prayer covering for him even to accomplish what all he could have. That's just a practical part of it, is that when the Lord puts someone there, if one half of the church does nothing but call them, I mean, I was handling these on Facebook all the time. The betrayal, he was going to declare himself as Muslim. He's a Nazi. It was insanity. In the same way now I see it on the other side is like, oh my goodness, Trump is the worst thing ever and the dangers we have under him. There's half now, like the other half of the church is recoiling the same way the other half of the church was doing previously.
Yeah. Always a lot of conspiracy perspective and over the top dramatic statements, you know, both ways. But you just said you felt like President Obama had compromised like Saul did. Can you say more of what you meant by he compromised?
Yeah, but again, I would need a whole word to do that, and so I can't do that. Especially on this podcast, I can just say even, you know, the last act in the natural that that King Saul did was he fell to the Philistines, really, that's what took him out. And the Philistines, even naturally, it's from Palestine. It's the same cities they celebrated in Gaza and other things. And there was one of the last acts that President Obama did was really it constitutes his betrayal of Israel in many ways. And again, it's worth a whole prophetic word, and gotcha. So it's hard to do so.
So you didn't mean like in a morality, character kind of way. You meant specifically as it related to Israel.
Yeah, and I point out that, and it's quite obvious that he was well-spoken. He was a president the nations loved, one we could be more proud of. But, you know, for the United States to have a president that's too well-spoken of all the nations is probably a bad sign. It means we're not taking a leadership position. We're doing what they want us to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are out of tune and out of touch with the direction of God and the macro narrative of what he's doing.
Yeah.
But he seemed to manage his family well. He was an inspiration for blacks, for minorities worldwide. And so again, it's not to entirely knock him, but in the analogy, he served more as a Saul than as a David. And because in order even to make it for this podcast, I'm just going to jump in some more. So, you know, some can be saying, what? You're equating President Trump with King David? And again, perhaps imperfectly. But if we look specifically how David was king, there are a lot of parallels. And whereas Saul was a man of the people, David, I mean, he became a man of the people, but he was a man chosen uniquely by God. He was, you know, not even famous in his own household. He was not invited to the coronation and he gets picked out. And I heard the Lord spoke to me, and that's what I wrote, that I chose Trump because I know some things that none of you know. That's how the Lord spoke to me. Cause I was like, you're choosing him? Yeah, I know some things you don't know and that nobody knows. There are some things that I have to deal with. And he is the perfect one for it, his personality and character development. And again, because we don't see the end of things the way the Lord does, we can second guess.
Yeah, and just back to my little analogy that probably wasn't a very good one, but the analogy of a doctor, most of the way that I would choose a doctor or that I would want someone to choose a doctor for me is not based on their personality. You know, it's it's based on their ability to do the job.
Right.
And so you're saying that God showed you that President Trump was wired specifically, which may be some of the things that upset people the most about him, but that wiring allows him to do, to be used by God to accomplish some big picture things that God knows needs to be dealt with better than we even know that need to be dealt with.
Yeah, and there's some nuances of David's personality that really resonate again, with the way President Trump handles things.
Yeah, and David was brash and harsh.
He was brash and harsh from the first moment when, you know, he shows up even to Goliath. When Goliath tells him what he's going to do, he's like, oh, I'm gonna behead you, and then I'm coming on the carcasses of the Philistines. I'm going to feed them. That's his teenage years, whatever, conversation. And then, you know, there's things I didn't even write about. It's when became his wife Abigail, and her husband, I think Naboth or something, he said some harsh words. And so David, he's going to go take him out, kill him because of it. And she has to plead with him not to. And then there are, you know, the language that he has throughout. There's his own captain, Joab, who betrayed him one time. And so he you know, he released these curses on him. May he, him and all his kids forever, for all generations, may there be poverty, a cripple, an effeminate one. You know, they're like over the top. David was not known for entreating language. Relationships was not his strength. He had trouble all along. He had three sons that ultimately, in some way or another, Absalom, Adonijah, and Ammon, you know, they're going after the throne. He had other betrayals taking place. It was an inner circle. It was not a peaceful time. David was a time of war, but yet it tells of the great advance. He takes out the Ammonites, the Moabites. There's like six of those ites. He, you know, whereas Saul didn't really make, he didn't expand Israel. There was, and this is not about expanding the United States in that sense, but it's about establishing the United States properly. There is...
So that we can be a lead nation that serves in all the ways we're called to serve as
a nation. And it's for the nation. It's not for the United States purposes, for the purposes of the kingdom. And it's because God is hearing the cries in many nations where they have leaders that are not leaders. They are they're dictators, they're mafia bosses, they are crime bosses that are running mm-hmm. nations, and they need to be dealt with for the sake of the people. And so you have to have somebody that's more dispositioned like that, like it's a David type disposition. Mm-hmm. And so you know, we think of David differently as we read his Psalms, and that's where we get his more spiritual side, and we get, you know, the one thing have I desired of the Lord. We get the stuff that we go, no, that's David. But he had this whole other side.
Totally.
And we don't know if one day we'll read the Psalms of Donald Trump, and we'll find out, wow, there was this whole other side of him that we didn't know of more. But even in his humility in Psalms of David, he would say, Lord, destroy my enemies before me, and he was always, he had harsh things against to say against anyone who opposed him in any way. So more than we have time to do, there's similarities on Trump's call towards, as it relates to United States and its destiny, than David had towards Israel's destiny. And he's called to make the United States strong economically, and it's on behalf of the world. And again, we may get to talk more about that later. And he's called to be a defender of Israel and Jerusalem. And he's doing that even in the natural President Trump is. And he's called to make the United States militarily strong so that the Lord will use the United States as a lead nation to deal with things that need to be dealt among the nations. And so I don't feel like I did him justice, but for time's sake, for we didn't want to do too much on these on these podcasts. But then next, I put next as a Solomon, that after a time of war, I believe I've been shown there will be a time of peace, and it'll be a time of peace and prosperity. And this leader will represent all the good aspects of King Solomon, who asked for wisdom, one who had wisdom, and there was peace and prosperity. It wasn't time for war, and you had people come to see the majesty of everything about him. You know, the Queen of Sheba comes and is like, wow, I had been told about the glory on you and around you, but it far exceeded it. And the temple was built, and billions of dollars went into the house of God. And so all these matters, I believe that's the next period. And I say that I believe even this word peace, because Solomon means peace, shalom, peace, Solomon, that even he who will be president has all those letters in his name of peace, except for one letter that needs to be...
You mean whoever's president after President Trump?
Yes.
You're saying is? I mean...
It would be saying, okay, Pence is... He carries peace, that changed the N and the A. And
so you're going on the record and saying that you feel like God has shown you that the next president will be President Pence.
Yes.
Who is currently vice president.
Yes. And, you know, it's not anytime soon. There's fulfillment of Trump's timetable there. But the advances that Trump will make, the victories that he wins, will allow for there to be a peaceful president, and one who you can be more proud of his wisdom and peaceful demeanor and everything else about him. And it's a time of prosperity for the nation. And it's a time where... because the nations remembered, one of the reasons there was peace for Solomon, because they remembered militarily the nation had been built up, and there was like, don't challenge them, and you're going to lose, because the Lord was with them to win. And so that was part of the gift that David gave to Solomon, so to speak. And I know all these things, we're in a fallen world, and you know, what happens if we don't pray enough, and what can this thing be sabotaged? Can it be miscarried? I don't think so. I think we're in such a swirl of destiny for this nation because we're the lead nation of the world, and it has to do with the age of the kingdom, and that there's the grip of the kingdom is coming on planet Earth. And so the United States as a lead role and position has this intentionality of heaven. He is sovereign. Doesn't mean everything that happens that he does it, but he can at any time. He's like, we're for the fullness of time, Kairos moment, we're intervening. And I believe that's what we're experiencing. And it's going to be just like Saul, David, and Solomon were defining leaders for the new age for Israel, that's what's happening for us as well.
All right, that's awesome. Those are great teasers for the word that is on your blog on our website. So if this interests you at all, then we would encourage you to go on and read those, read the whole prophetic word and get a more in-depth description of the things Johnny's just touching on. So thank you so much for joining us. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and we declare over you just that transition of your own heart into just being willing to say, okay, God, I'm not offended with you and the people you choose, the way you choose to cause disruption, allow disruption, so that I can be positioned for all that you have for me and all that you want me to know of your heart towards me. And so we just declare that over you today, and we look forward to next time.
Yes.